CBS, Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. The debt deal, done. The president's Oval Office address, done. The debt deal, avoiding default, done. 2 years from now, we begin again. However, I welcome Veronique DeRigi of the Mercatus Center, because what I learned reading the news within hours, within days of the debt deal done, is that it is never done. That all sides, that is to say more than two, have opinions about what they can do with the debt deal. Veronique, a very good evening to you. I read most recently this report about the debt deal in the Republican House, the part that was passed beforehand that Mr. McCarthy took to the president in his negotiation. House leadership has canceled votes for the rest of the week as several hardline GOP lawmakers deployed stall tactics to protest the debt ceiling deal Speaker Kevin McCarthy brokered with Democrats. The members reportedly want to renegotiate the deal struck in January to give McCarthy the speakership gavel, though McCarthy said they hadn't offered specific demands. So not only do they want to change speakers, they're using the debt deal to slow everything down, to stop everything, to protest McCarthy. In other words, the Republicans who signed on this deal don't like the deal. Who does like it? All right. Who else is trying to change it, Veronique? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Yeah, no, they don't like the deal. I mean, most people don't like the deal, right? Because it's born out of a compromise. So it means most people had to give up something they wanted for things that they didn't want. But the Freedom Caucus people really did not like the deal that was passed, and they're getting more and more annoyed because the little that was in the deal is being violated, or at least there is strong hints that it's not going to actually go through. So, for instance, we know there are caps on defense and non-defense spending in the deal, and President Biden has already said that if he needed, he would make sure to suspend the deal, the caps on non-defense spending. And I think the Senate Republicans have also said that with the war in Ukraine still raging, the caps on defense spending may have to go. And for this, of course, they have a built-in mechanism, which is called the emergency spending labeling, where if they label anything emergency, it's spending that doesn't count against the caps.
So both the Republicans and the Democrats, in the person of the very powerful president and the very powerful Senate minority leader, are already speculating about exceeding the caps. The House leadership is paralyzed right now because the House Freedom Caucus doesn't like the deal and doesn't like the deal they worked out with Mr. McCarthy. We don't know the terms of it. In January, that led to the deal they don't like. No one likes the deal. Okay, fine. But I read from your column at Creators Syndicate that the deal doesn't achieve much at all. Slight achievement, presuming the CBO's projections continue on current law and existing policies, which you say we have no confidence in that because already they're changing, correct?
Yes, correct. So the deal doesn't do very much compared to what CBO was projecting our fiscal situation would be in the next 10 years. But it doesn't do anything. But that projection about what our fiscal situation would be in the next 10 years prior to the deal itself was probably an underestimation of what things were going to be, in part because of some of the mandate that CBO faces. For instance, CBO can only score legislations as they are written in the law. So for instance, part of the Trump tax cut are scheduled to expire in 2025, I think in 2024 and 2025. So what CBO scores is that revenue from the expiring provision is going to go up. But because we know, because these will affect a lot of people with income under $400,000 of income, we know that the president is not going to agree to that, right? They're going to try to shelter the middle class. They're going to try to shelter a lot of people. So it's very likely politically that this assumption built into CBO, for instance, will not will not hold. And there are just many more other assumptions and that are made by the CBO for the sake of projections that I think are wrong and will make our fiscal situation look worse in a face that of a deal that is super, super small.
Let me understand about the tax cut, because the jobs and tax cut of 2017 was responsible for a great burst of energy and hiring and growth in this country until the pandemic. There are elements of it expiring in 2024 and 2025. The CBO has to assume they're going to expire. You don't think they will. So already this deal is false. The numbers are false.
Well, it's the baseline against which we measure the savings from the deal. So, for instance, if in the best case scenario, that deal will save $2 trillion over 10 years, right? And if the deficit was prior to that scheduled to be $20 trillion over 10 years cumulative. Right. It means that you still have a deficit of $18 trillion over 10 years. And you can say, well, that's something. But if really the deficit was going to be, let's say, $30 trillion over 10 years, $2 trillion of saving, it just looks much, much less impressive. Right. And so it's in that sense that it actually matters that we're on a path, a fiscal path that is much, much worse than what is actually projected by the CBO and makes the saving, whatever savings occur, even smaller relatively to the deficit.
Daniel Henniger of the Wall Street Journal, he writes the Wonderland column, has an observation, an ironic observation, that the Democrats depend upon spending money for their authority. That's true for the Republicans as well. Don't you agree? They both like to spend money.
Oh, yeah. They love spending money on both sides. In fact, you see it when, you saw it during the Trump years, I'm sad to say. The economy was growing. We were at peace. And yet deficit was growing and was on track before the pandemic to hit $1 trillion. Back then, interest rates were also low. So you had peace, prosperity, and low interest rates. And we were deficits almost doubled prior to the pandemic. And we're going to hit $1 trillion.
So what we're dealing with is a government, a Congress, that is always going to spend money and boast about how they're spending less money in order to get a debt deal. Have we been misled on purpose, or is this the nature of the business?
I think there's a little bit of both, but that explains why the Freedom Caucus, Republicans are annoyed.
The House leadership has canceled votes. We know that to be a fact. The debt deal cannot be undone, but they're certainly going to kick it around very hard, and then they'll kick it down the road. Véronique de Rougy, writing at Creators Syndicate for the Mercatus Center. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Battle.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.